thought about the Lord Jesus Christ and the realities of his death by sharing communion together. And in this moment, we have brought into mind in our prayers others and other situations that involve our daily life. Answer our prayers, I pray. Encourage us as we listen to your word and this message. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We read the scripture of Paul on his journey to Emmaus. And the lectionary reading was also today, if you did look and read them all, there was also a story of Peter calling his fellow disciples after the resurrection to go fishing. And so often in desperation, when we think things are not going right, we go back to something of the past. Whether it's a bad habit we have, maybe in your young days being in the hotel or out with your friends, a bottle of alcohol was a common thing to do. Well, you find that in the intensity of life and its troubles, that's where you want to go back to. If it was that, well, you were casual with the people you had in relationships and you were always throwing them overboard and trying to find a perfect mate in somebody else, and the precious moments and those pressured moments in life, you will find yourself struggling with a relationship that is closest to you even in this time. That's what we do. That's what sin does. It takes us back. And Peter, in desperation, goes out fishing and calls his fellow brothers to go with him. Lake fishing at night is not going out in the dark. You take your lanterns with you. There are freshwater fish that like the light. And so when you hang your lantern over the side of the boat, they're close by to put your net around and haul in. Night fishing is prosperous. Many do it in the lakes of Africa. That's how they make their livelihood, fishing in the Great Lakes. I spent a little bit of time around Lake Victoria and out in the islands in the lake. And that's where there are many out there who just go fishing every night. That's their livelihood. There's a great export market out of Africa into Europe of fish coming out of the lakes. So these men who knew fishing had no trouble going back fishing. But going out all night and catching nothing? You would at least get one. But they caught nothing, and in desperation, they find themselves in this situation. And John wrote it in this story for us. You see, and in that story, they arrive at the shore and find Jesus, fire, fish, bread, all ready for breakfast. And then Jesus speaks and tells them to put the net over the side, and you know they caught an abundance of fish. Peter had only been a few weeks earlier on another night, standing beside a fire, saying, "I don't know this man you're talking about. I don't belong to him. He's not one. No. Life many a times puts us in situations we find ourselves shaking our head and say, what, did I really say that? Did I do that? Yeah, we did. We made a mess. Let's admit it. My journey over the last number of years has taken me into the northern part of Uganda, amongst the Karamojong. How did it get me there? It's an interesting journey. I was milking cows at the time, and out of Ashburton, around that area, been a number of years there milking other people's cows. And we had some days off, and having had a busy spring period, we went up to Hamner Springs for the weekend, me and Christine. And I go and visit the little church sitting amongst the village under those great trees. A lovely little church, a quiet place. And into my mind comes this thought. For a missionary couple out of New Zealand, out of New Plymouth, that had been a number of years, many years in Africa, for Robert and Margaret Ames. And the Spirit of God was speaking to me, and he says, go and visit them. What? I had been out of New Zealand once, mainly because I married a lady from England and she still had a number of relatives. Her mum and dad were in New Zealand and her brother, but she had relatives over there. And so we went on a journey to visit them. And here God saying to me, here, take another journey. Go and visit these people in Africa. So, knowing that it was God speaking, knowing it was something I should do, we go. And so the journeys of going in and out of Africa, of being involved in different situations and places, began. There was a pressured point. We'd been in been in Tanzania for a year, working with an African church, an African pastor, who was starting a Christian school, and we'd been there helping him, doing some property work, some building, some teaching, speaking to the rural pastors there on a couple of occasions, situations I found myself enjoying, found myself in a situation where God was giving me messages to speak that were a great encouragement to them. But so often as things go on, so pressures arose. And we were sent home. Our visas were cancelled. We came home disappointed, angry, brokenhearted, wondering on this journey what was next. A lot of years went by doing ordinary things in life, milking other people's cows, shifting from one house, one job to another, to another, to another. One church to another, one community to another. Being around people, influencing people, being in situations where you didn't know whether you were having much influence or not at the time. But stories came up afterwards, time and time again, of hearing people who we'd been working with, who I'd been a work colleague or whatever, that my presence in the workplace had an influence on them. One young man I was working with, he was like a lot of young men at that stage, struggling with relationships, struggling with a boss who was pretty tight and rigid, who gave instructions from the office but seldom walked the land with the boy to encourage him in what he was doing. Was pretty frustrated. He was living with his girlfriend. She was due a baby. And 2 weeks before it was due, it died in the womb. He said to me sometime later, he would have spun out completely. But your presence in the workplace, your encouragement to be here, to keep me here, to walk this journey, helped me tremendously. What I'm trying to say is that somehow we need to have in us a deep conviction of our relationship with God. Because without it, we spin out. We go back to the bad habit, to the sinful way. We destroy what is good around us so easily if we let the sin come back into our life. Paul and Barnabas had been on a missionary journey, taking the gospel to a lot of interesting places and places that had never heard of Jesus and the gospel. There'd been rumors amongst the Jews in those areas about this Jesus as people had traveled across the known world, talking about what had happened in Jerusalem. But the Greeks and the other people groups, they didn't know that God had come by his Son into the world. And so Paul and Barnabas had this great opportunity to go and preach the gospel. They'd had a young man with them, John Mark, who traveled part of that journey and for some reason decided to get the boat and go back home. Having been on a journey into Africa and worked with other people and other people, you know, outside our cultural group, I can understand why. But Paul and Barnabas, they get into this argument, because when they want to go on the next journey, Barnabas says, let me find John Mark and let's take him again, huh? Let's see if he's growing up a bit. Let's see if he's life in Christ is still real. Let him come. No, says Paul. He's not coming with us. He deserted us last time. He's not worthy to come. These two brothers in Christ had such a fist fight over it, they departed and went separate ways. You see, sometimes even the best of us struggle even in the common things of life. So how does God speak to you? What gives you the certainty of your faith? Where did your journey begin? Was it because you heard the word of God being read, or you read it yourself and the words come alive? Was it because your friend sat with you in a time of agony and pain and lostness and gave you hope? Was it because God Himself stretched out His hand and miraculously changed something or intervened in something, and you saw the hand of God at work? I don't know. But you have a story, from whether it's small to the large, whether it's the simple, I'm convicted by reading the word of God, to God raising you from the dead. You know, the Bible is full of all those stories in between. And you have one to share. And they're important. So when I arrived in the Karamoja, and I met we were in the town of Katito, and I met a Christian man there, a Karamajong, a minister of the Church of Uganda, whose work was out of town, in a small place, a big rural area, a small town of Katito, of Kacheri. And he used to walk the 30 kilometers backwards and forwards between these two centers. When he had church work to do and needed in the church, he would just walk. You know, he could do it in the morning in those days. Usually now he breaks his journey and sleeps overnight in the village halfway in between. Well, he's now 70, so who can blame him? Yeah. And he invited us to go to Kacheri and see what God was doing. And we eventually moved to a church compound that was there, and they had a nice house, a reasonable house. And I met a man there who told me this story. This story is the story of how God intervened in his life. The character of the man, he was a fierce and young warrior. That meant he went raiding other people's cows with a great love to see how many he could bring home. He'd brought enough home to marry four ladies. And since they were living, or three of them were still with him, were living in his array, that had been paid for by the cows, so the bride price had been paid. Many a lady lives with a man without the bride price being paid in the Karamoja. People say they're married, but culturally they're not fully married. It would be like here, a girl only having an engagement ring for 40 years, wondering if the man would ever take her and get married. Might have produced a whole family of children and growing up to and have grandchildren after them and still not be married. But this man had raided cows, other people's cows, and he'd used them to pay the bride price. That's what they do over there. He had a favorite bull. Man loves a particular bull in his herd. Usually he will be called by the name of the bull, and the bull's name is a description of the bull, whether it is a bull with a crooked right horn, whether it's describing its color, the pattern of its color, or whatever it is about the characteristics. They sing songs about their bull they love, as if it was their wife they were singing to. It's true. And his bull, he is away out in the corral, and his bull falls sick. his favorite ball with East Coast Fever. Gets weaker and weaker. He knows it's going to die. This tears at his heart. So this is the New Zealand equivalent, is this prized stern stud bull that you have brought for $90,000 and put in your front paddock, expecting your herd to explode with Angus Beauty in the years to come. Anybody comes looking at your cows, looks at your bull. You know, this is his bull. That set bull is now sick. Nothing the vet can do, nothing he can do. He decides he needs to get it closer to home, because when it's dead, we will at least cut it up and eat its meat. So he sent also a message with one of the young boys to get the wives to bring the pot and the knives. I don't think it's going to get home. The bull falls over on this journey. He's trying to get it back up on his feet, and he realizes in despair, I'm not going to succeed. Then he hears the Spirit of God speak to him. Ask me how he knows it's the Spirit of God. I didn't ask him. But these are people that are used to listening to the spirits, are listening to you, to want to know desperately and know that God speaks. And he says, the Spirit said, sing the songs you heard being sung the church under the tree. He didn't regularly go to church. He may have passed there a few times, may have stood around the outside and listened to a song or two. But he didn't pay much attention. There's nothing else for him to do. So he obeys the voice within, and he starts to sing the songs he had heard. Then the Spirit says, give the bull a poke, a stick. It will get up and walk. So he gives the bull a poke and a hit with his stick, and it staggers to his feet and walks on home. As it gets closer to home, he's going past one of the sorghum gardens. His sorghum garden, one of them belongs to his family, and the bull turns aside into the garden and starts to eat. So even in Africa, I found the miraculous of God intervening in someone's life to change it forever, just as God changed Paul's life on the Emmaus Road. Marco is a changed man, a leader amongst his people and Christian community, a man who God listens to in his prayers and answers them, a man who one day people from another village came a day's walk and asked him, we want you to come, we hear that God answers your prayers. Come and pray for our son who was possessed with a bad spirit. We want him set free. And Marco went with the family and he prayed and the son was delivered. Wasn't the only incident that he could tell of God answering his prayers. This man who had never been to school got hold of one of the little radios with the Christian, with the New Testament in his language on it, and played it 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 until he could sing or quote the scriptures almost word perfect. And he got hold of one of the Bibles, Karamojong Bibles we had. Several went missing when he was around us. And I would find them in the hut if he was sleeping on the compound. Or when I was down at the Zirei, there would be one around that had come past my hands. And we heard him on a number of occasions sitting under the tree or in the hut reading the words of the written page. He'd had a little bit of help from Christine and from one or two others that had been past the villages trying to teach the adults to read. And now he was making progress reading the Word of God. You see, I share stories today that give me certainty that God is alive and active in the world we live in. These are stories of my experiences. But what are the stories of yours? What are your stories of when you hear the Spirit of God is about a situation in your life, or about someone you need to speak to or sit beside or visit? Did you go? Or did you stay? I have had many times. No, I would be tired at the end of the day when I was milking my own cows even. And I would have this thought, to go and shut a certain gate, or to go up to this field and look at the calving cows or whatever. And then I would shake my head and say, doesn't matter, it'll be all right. And go home. Only to find that the next day I had a bigger problem than if I had taken the nudge of the Spirit of God and paid attention to it. I have one going on now that I have not paid enough attention to it, and it keeps coming back to me and coming back to me. You see, one of the things I want to do, I have this crazy desire to have a team of oxen working. Get a little plow and a few garden tools to put behind them. But I brought a house in town instead of buying 10 acres in the country, because the money I had didn't let me buy 10 acres in the country with a house, and I didn't want a cold house. I didn't want to live in a cold caravan or a little hut all winter. But I still want a team of oxen. You see, and this idea, this thought comes to me that I should write a little story and put it in that little local telegraph we have in Oamaru here. And maybe I'll find a piece of land that someone will let me put some oxen on. I could go and train them every day or every other day. But I haven't done it yet. So you see, how do I find, or how do I get an answer to what God wants is saying you can get an answer to if you don't try the things that God speaks to you about? I have the same problem. And it doesn't matter whether it's you and Oamaru here in New Zealand and amongst the people you're comfortable with it, or whether you have been brave and courageous and gone to the other end of the earth and wear the title of a missionary and put on a strange hat, which today I've sort of turned sideways because I don't know which way it should face. If you're not careful, the God moments of life pass you by, and you can be left struggling with what you can do in your own effort with your own wisdom, with your own skills, with your own dynamics of life. Many a time, that's not sufficient. Many a time it needs you to walk with God, to invite God into a situation, into your relationships, your people, relationships with other people, into the place where God's calling you, where he's working in someone else's life, so that you may be a catalyst, a helper of what God is doing, and help him intervene. It's not easy. I know that. You see, it gets tested. You know, I find it still gets tested. I have moved house so many times in our married life. Some of you would be horrified how many. It's never got any easier. I should be the world's expert of creating new friends, of being dynamic in a new community, because I've done it so many times. Yet every time I find it a lonely, difficult challenge to break into a new community. It's not easier. I think it's got harder. Coming back into New Zealand at this time, when there's all this disturbance in social relationships through Corona, I think it's the worst it's been. And some of the situations we've been in haven't been easy either. But when we let God speak and we obey, when we're moved to walk in the pathway God's calling us to walk, amazing things do happen. And why do they happen? Because that's the life of God. It's new, it's vibrant, it's redemptive. But also because he's building community. It's true. Christians are one body in Christ. There's only one Spirit. The Spirit of God, our Father in heaven, that represents the Spirit of God. He is God, so he represents God in this world. He represents Jesus in this world. He comes because the Father has sent him to be in us. One Spirit, one Lord and Savior. And so in this body of Christians that we find ourselves in, this little, even this little subset of them, in this little church. You know, for you, it may even be another subset of your own friends that are not attached to this church. It's a place with community where God is working with you and you with him. We're commanded to love one another. We're commanded to forgive one another. We're commanded to encourage one another. And these can only happen when I know deep within me, when it's steeped in my life and in my story, that God is alive and active and real to me. When you know he's active and real to you, then you have something to contribute to everybody else and with everybody else. You know, I would love for a lot more people to go to the other end of the world and share the gospel with some of the people groups that don't know Christ. But they are generally the most difficult places to live now. for us that come from a Western background particularly. They're in environments that are not comfortable. They're amongst people groups that are hostile to believing in Jesus. The unreached people groups are languages that are difficult to learn. And so you need a certain amount of fortitude to go on such a journey. But I guess it would take the same amount of fortitude if we said to this group of younger women here, you go in the next week and you find three solo mums in this community and you make a friendship with them. Three that you already don't know. When we say to some of these men down on this side, where's the fellow man of your own age? Maybe you even grew up with him from school around here somewhere that you haven't bumped into for a long time or visited for a long time. How about you go and see how he's getting on in life? See whether there is any light of God in his eyes, in his spirit. See what help he needs to come to know Jesus. Are you brave enough to go? Will you come back next Sunday and report? No, maybe you're in a workplace, in a business, and there's people everywhere. When was the last time you showed compassion to one of your fellow workmates? When they're in desperate need, when things are not going right in their home or with their family. Maybe even someone in their family has died. When did you say more than just, my sympathies be with you? Because if you can't do it here, you struggle to do it there. But I have been there and I still struggle to do it here, so I don't know. But if we don't struggle, if we don't find a way to overcome that which keeps us separate, that which keeps us from being adventurous to the Spirit of God and with the Spirit of God, then we will continually struggle with Christian community that gets older and older and smaller, because the life of God is not reaching into the lives of others. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to encourage me. Come on, Bruce, be out a bit more. Go and meet some new people. Be adventurous. Visit this community and places. Come with me to see these guys or whatever. We all need that. Most of all, sit with somebody else over a coffee or a tea this afternoon and share a little story of what God's doing or what God's done. What gives you the certainty of the hope that is within you that means you can be brave and courageous and share it with somebody else? I want to encourage you today. Let us pray. Our loving Father, I thank you that you love us with a great and everlasting love. But you are the God who is calling all people that they would come unto you, the giver of life. the forgiver of sins and iniquities, the restorer of the broken heart, of the shattered life. Let us take hope of the life that is within us. Let us rise up with the strength and the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, with a new courage, a new boldness, be prepared to help somebody and speak to somebody in their time of need, as your Spirit encourages us this week, I pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.